Well, brothers and sisters, we are going to continue in the sermon series we began last week. And we're talking about a life of generosity and what generosity means and some of the places in the Bible that talk about generosity. Today, our scripture comes from 2 Corinthians. I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians in the 9th chapter. I'm going to begin with verse 6 and read down through verse 15. And as always, if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along with me. And if you don't, you're welcome to listen as we read from the letter of Paul to the church at Corinth, beginning with verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and at all times, having everything that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, and their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given to you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of His holy word. And let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful once again for the opportunity to gather together as a community of faith, to bring ourselves to You in this worship service. And we thank You, Lord, for the way that Your Holy Spirit has worked through our gathering thus far. And we pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would continue to work among us. Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be Your words. And God, as always, we humbly ask that You would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts so that the words that You have for us today might be more for us than simply more information. But we pray, Lord, that Your word might dig deeply within us, that it might go very deeply into our hearts and transform us from the inside out. All this we ask in the name of Your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in His name that we pray together, saying amen. When you think of generosity, who do you think of? Who do you think of when you think of generosity? I think of this guy that was named Larry Stewart. He lived in Kansas City. He was a businessman, and for years, somebody in Kansas City was going around handing out $100 bills at Christmas time. He called himself the Secret Santa. And he didn't reveal what he had done or who he was until right before his death in 2006 because he wanted his friends and his family to carry on what he had done. It's estimated that Larry Stewart gave in the time that he was doing the Secret Santa somewhere over $1 million in $100 bills. And as recently as last year, somebody was giving out $100 bills to the people in New York City that were affected by Hurricane Sandy last Christmas, Christmas of 2013. And when we think about generosity, a lot of times that's what we think about, isn't it? We think about somebody who's willing to give, somebody who's willing to give something without any thought of getting anything in return. And in truth, in the scripture today that I read to you, this scripture from 2 Corinthians, Paul is trying to raise up an offering to take to the poor in Jerusalem. And he says to the people at the church of Corinth, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And then in verse 7 he said, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now you may not know this, but this comes from the 22nd chapter of Proverbs. God loves a cheerful giver. It actually comes from verse 6. It's not in most translations, because it ended up in the Greek Bible, which a lot of people were using the Greek Bible rather than the Hebrew version of the Bible because they spoke and read Greek. And somehow it got dropped out. And that's a sad thing to me, because I think that God really does love a cheerful giver. And then in verse 10 he says, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Once again, this is a quote from the Old Testament. It's from Isaiah chapter 54. And the idea is that God always provides for us and that God is always generous to us. Indeed, sometimes we think about God's generosity. And in the Greek, there is a term that's often used. It's often translated as grace. The Greek word is charis. And it's often translated as grace. But it can also be translated as generosity. And it reminds me that God's generosity is a generosity of grace. It's a generosity of undeserved favor. It's a generosity that we can't even begin to imagine. You know, we prayed this morning as our offertory prayer from the book of 1 Chronicles, all things come from you, O Lord, and from your own do we give back to you. And I think if we're going to really think about generosity, one of the things that we have to understand, and this was true, I think, for the people in the Old Testament. It's also true, I think, for the people in the New, as we read this, that Paul has written to Corinth, is that all things that we have come from God. Everything that we have comes from God. And it doesn't matter what you're thinking of, whether it's your talents, your abilities, your health, what comes into your life, the money you earn, all of these things come from God. And one of the things that the writers of the Old Testament and the New are clear about is that all things belong to God anyway. They already belong to God. You know, sometimes when we think about generosity, it's hard for us to think, because remember last week when we were talking about stuff? Some of you were here last week. I remember seeing your face. We talked about stuff and we talked about mine. Remember the word mine, the first word that we almost learned? Sometimes the reason that we find it difficult to live into a life of generosity is because we think everything is ours. And we don't recognize that it's all God's anyway. Everything on the earth belongs to God. And when we give back to God, whether it's by giving money, by giving time, I appreciate what Shelby said in the children's sermon this morning. Whatever it is that we give, when we give, we become more like God, who has given so much to each and every one of us. So part of the reason that we give, and part of the reason that giving is so important to those of us in this world who are trying our best to follow Jesus, to be disciples, is that in the normal and healthy Christian life, all things come from God's generosity. All things come from God's generosity. I was reading something this week I want to share with you, and again, it's about this word grace. The New Testament authors use this word charis that means grace. And it has a variety of meanings, but a lot of times in the Bible where this Greek word charis is translated grace, it often means generosity or a generous gift. Now, I want to read you some New Testament passages which have the word charis, the Greek word in them, that typically in your Bible will be translated grace. And I want to substitute generosity, and I want you to hear how interesting these verses sound when we substitute generosity for grace. From Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by God's generosity you have been saved. It is the gift of God." Galatians 1:3, "Generosity and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians chapter 1, verse 7, "It is only right for me to feel this way about you, since you are all partakers with me of God's generous gift." And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, "But by the generosity of God, I am what I am," that is, an apostle, "and his generosity towards me was not wasted. But I labored more than all of them, and yet not I, but it was God's generous gift which was with me." Isn't it interesting to think about God as a giver? To think about God as generous? To think about all the things that God has given to us, all the things that God has done for us? But especially, I think, when we think about what God has done for us, what we really like to think about is God's forgiveness. And let me substitute two more verses and substitute again God's generosity or generous gift where it says grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 20, "The law came in so that transgression might increase, but where sin increased, God's generosity overflowed even more." God's generosity overflowed even more. And then Romans chapter 3, verse 24, "Being justified freely by his generous gift through the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus." Being justified freely by God's generous gift through the redemption we have in Christ Jesus. You see, if we are to live a life of generosity, it's really not that difficult. Because all we have to do is remember how generous God has been to us. That's all we have to do. Once you realize and you start to think about how generous God is to us and God's generous gift to us in Jesus Christ, what other response could we have, brothers and sisters, other than to be generous to each other? Other than to be generous to each other. Because as we grow as disciples, as we grow in discipleship, as we continue to follow Jesus, as we continue to try to grow and become more like Christ, naturally what will happen to us is that we will become more generous. We will become more generous. And it fascinates me how the gift of generosity really, really shows us how much God loves us. And when we share generously with each other, it's fascinating to me how much that touches us. I have to admit something this morning that I'd rather not admit. I can't stay away from these Starbucks stores. You know, the ones that sell cups of coffee for $5, plus or minus. And it seems like about every second or third time that I go into a Starbucks these days, what happens is that you'll be ready to pay for your coffee. And typically this happens when I'm in the drive-through line. And the clerk will say, "Well, hey, the person in front of you paid for your coffee and they just want you to have a good day." Right? And this is called paying it forward, right? And it's interesting to me that sometimes when I'm getting my coffee in the morning, you know, I'm one of these people, you may have seen this picture of a cup, and on the side of it at the top is written, "Don't say a word." And then you get about halfway down, it says, "Not yet." And then you get to the bottom, it says, "Now you may speak." I can be that person until I get that caffeine in me, right? But it fascinates me how good it feels when a complete stranger buys my cup of coffee. And how much difference it makes in our lives when we are touched by somebody's generosity. And if nothing else, we ought to be people, as we grow in Christ, again, as we become more and more like Christ, as we go on this road of discipleship, we ought to be more generous with our time, with our talents, with our treasures, with our gifts, with everything that we have. We ought to be more generous, because there is nothing better, I think, and nothing that shows God's grace and God's generosity more than when we're generous to people, and particularly to people that we don't know. Larry Stewart really left us a gift, didn't he? He left us a gift. And I don't know what was going on in his mind. I don't know what caused him to hand out those $100 bills at Christmas. But don't you know that some of the people who got those were probably like me before I've had my caffeine? They were probably just on their last legs, wondering, waiting, what they were going to do. Wondering if there was any good in the world, wondering if there was any hope left, wondering if anybody cared. And all of a sudden a stranger comes up with a $100 bill. Boom. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas indeed. And it's amazing what we could do when we grow into a life of generosity. And again, what we need to remember is that as we grow as disciples, we will grow into this life of generosity because we have no other choice. The more we learn about God's generous gifts to us, how much God loves us, how much God cares for us, how much God really has taken care of us, how much God has given to us, how can we, brothers and sisters, not be generous? How can we not be people who are willing to give to others to make a difference? You know, there's a saying in our culture, he or she could be generous to a fault. And usually what that means is that person is so generous, they're kind of dumb, right? They might give away everything they had because they don't think very well. And sometimes they give things to people who don't really deserve them, who might not appreciate them, who might not even say thank you, but they give anyway. And I think the people that are generous to a fault understand that the God that we serve, the God that sent Jesus Christ to us, the God that inspires us through His Holy Spirit, is a God that is generous to a fault. Amen? He is generous to a fault. He has been so generous to us. So generous. For by His generous gift, Paul said, you and I have been saved. By His generous gift. And if God is generous to a fault, brothers and sisters, shouldn't we be learning how to be generous to a fault as well? Shouldn't we, if we are going to be His disciples? May God help us all to grow so that we understand that being generous to a fault just means that we are following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, who gave Himself to everybody that He came across, who gave His life on the cross for all of us, and who continues to give us life and forgiveness and mercy and peace and grace because He was generous to a fault, just like His Father. May we be generous to a fault as well. Amen. Amen.